And on the phone right now, we've got Josh Airy. Josh is the cellist and conductor of the Duluth Community Orchestra, and he's been doing a workshop up here in the Northland in Tofte area, I think for, I think the first was in 2007, and he's been on the North Shore in the last two workshops. As I look through his bio, I think first I'm going to say hi to Josh Airy. Welcome to the Roadhouse.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to talk with you.
You know, we were talking earlier, my co-host Bob and I, who you just spoke with, about your bio here. And, man, I tell you what, you've gotten more done at the age of 33 than we even can consider. It's a full page here. And so many awards, so many performances, big league performances, teaching. You serve on board of directors at the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council, the Sacred Heart Music Center in Duluth. You're advisor in Virginia for their Arrowhead Center for the Arts. You've been, I think one of your more recent awards was annual recognition of 20 community leaders by the Duluth News Tribune under the age of 40. I mean, I didn't even touch on it. Very impressive, Josh.
Thank you very much, Buck. I've been blessed to have a diverse musical background, certainly, and I very much enjoy getting involved in any way I can in the community.
What brought you to Duluth, Josh?
That's a great question. Actually, I've been following my wife around for a number of years now.
That's a good thing to do.
It is. She's actually a geologist pursuing her PhD here in Duluth at the Large Lakes Observatory. And not many people know, but the Large Lakes Observatory is the preeminent institution in the United States to study lake geology and paleoclimate, which is what she does. So
that's impressive. We'll have to have her on sometime.
Okay.
Talk about the big lake. It's it sure dominates our landscape here.
Indeed.
Now, you're coming up here to do a workshop on chamber music, and you've done several now already. The first thing that comes to my mind, because, you know, I listen to things that may not be called chamber music, is just what defines that?
Well, that's a great question, and I bet you that you and all of your listeners actually do listen to chamber music. Chamber music began...
I'm feeling better about myself.
You're good.
Yeah.
we're all a little more cultured, perhaps, than we think sometimes, aren't we? But chamber music really came about more than two centuries ago, actually, as kind of little house parties with music involved. And there were little private concerts that were held in living rooms. And obviously that you can't have a large symphony orchestra in the living room, so chamber music concerts were small ensembles in a chamber. And that has since come to grow over the past couple of centuries to involve duos and trios and quartets and quintets and even a chamber orchestra, a small orchestra. And so that's basically what chamber music is. And one of the wonderful things for me as a cellist trained in chamber music is that some of the most well-known composers have written their most intimate and, I think, personal works for string quartet or wind quintet, these beautiful and gorgeous works that they have said themselves, these composers, that chamber music is a special thing and it's an intimate thing, and they've devoted their artistry to giving us some great repertoire. And I'm just so pleased to be able to share that with as many people as I can, and that's kind of how this workshop was born.
Now, chamber music, is it any dictated genre in that type of music?
No, not
I know what we normally think of.
Yeah.
Is listening to a cello or some strings or something on that, or but go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I think I would argue that the chamber music is constantly broadening its definition, and I think you would meet a number of jazz players, a number of maybe even rock or country folks who would say, "Hey, I do chamber music too. I play in a trio or a quartet, and I pour a lot of my heart and soul into what I do, and I love performing for a small group of people." That's really all chamber music is. Traditionally, in that sense, though, you know, chamber music does revolve around classical music or Western art music, as we say, and includes the heavyweights in the composing world everywhere from Haydn, who was called the father of the string quartet. He wrote, I think, 88 string quartets in his lifetime, just an incredible feat, through Mozart and Beethoven, Shostakovich, and up until today, even with contemporary composers.
Josh, you mentioned that it's your love of this type of music that has brought on the workshops that you do now up on the North Shore. What type of musicians typically come to these? Are they people that you play with orchestrally? Are they just private citizens who love to play? Who's involved?
Actually, all of the above. Originally, the Chamber Music Workshop grew out of the Duluth Community Orchestra here in Duluth, which encompasses a lot of different ages. We've got high school players all the way up through retired folks who just love to play. And the abilities and skill levels range from fairly beginner all the way to advanced. And so, four summers ago now, I recognized the need from folks who really wanted to play chamber music and be involved in smaller ensembles. And so we started meeting regularly here in Duluth over the summer, and I heard about more and more people all around our region who were interested in doing a similar thing. So I thought, hey, why not start a little kind of intensive session in a beautiful place and try to attract adults from all over the Midwest? And we've been lucky enough to have done that. We've gotten folks from as far away as Chicago and Iowa and Wisconsin. And this year we're welcoming people from Kentucky and farther abroad than that even. So we draw from a wide range of, again, skill levels and abilities, but everyone loves to play chamber music. That's what draws them. And I think also the beauty of the North Shore does as well. It's a great place to spend 6-7 days, you know, and play great music. And
now, the term workshop seems to involve a learning process. Are there people who are kind of coaches in this process and folks that take courses?
Yeah, the workshop basically focuses on a couple of different things. We structure our days so that the participants have coaching experience, so they're actually put in a chamber group if they don't come preformed already in a group. And our artist faculty spend a good portion of the day giving coachings or basically little instructional sessions on how to improve ensemble skills, for instance, how to give a better cue to start or end a particular section. But I'm lucky to be joined by a wonderful pianist, a wonderful violinist, and a wonderful flautist who I work with. And their names are Samuel Black on piano, Laurie Bastian on violin, and Betty Bronstein on flute. And we kind of constitute the faculty and give these groups coachings. And then we also provide them with an opportunity to participate in some seminars that address some of these same ensemble skills and talk about things like sight reading and repertoire and performance anxiety even. And we have a great time exploring all aspects of chamber music and just having a great time being friends, really, and colleagues together as musicians.
You mentioned a composer, Haydn, earlier writing music, and you have somebody coming to this workshop, Rick Soash, who's a nationally renowned composer, I guess, from Cincinnati. I think about classical music, and I just can't envision how you compose classical music. We talk to a lot of folks here in the studio who come in and play, whether it's jazz or pop music or whatever it is, that I can kind of get. But there's a lot of volume and expression that goes into classical that I just can't stand in the shower and sing, you know?
I agree, actually. I think composing classical music is truly an art form that if it's not genius, it's awfully close to it. It takes a lot of mental capacity, a lot of knowledge of music theory and how to put parts together. And you know, if you can imagine in a symphonic setting anyway with 105 players or more or less, you know, that's just an incredible amount of music to put together and orchestrate.
I have a hard time just keeping track of what I'm doing.
Yeah, I hear you.
All these other people are playing. So when somebody does compose the music, do they? Are you a composer yourself, Josh?
I don't claim that. I've written some short pieces for me as a cellist and some other small ensemble-type works, but I'm not definitely in the league of someone like Rick Soash, whom you mentioned, who will be joining us this summer. He's just a wonderful, talented, and accessible composer, a great example of music that's alive and really being created today or within the past, 10, 20 years, that's very accessible, very fun to listen to, and has a lot of artistic depth and merit, I think. His works have been performed in Carnegie Hall and all over the world by preeminent ensembles, so it's a real wonderful coup that we've got him coming to Tofte, Minnesota.
Yeah, isn't it? That is something. Yeah. Right here on the North Shore, and we seem to attract a lot of talent up here on the North Shore, Lake Superior, including yourself. I just want to ask one more question about the composing thing. Do you think composers, and you wrote a couple short pieces yourself of classical music, do you actually hear or see all of the aspects, all of the different instruments that are going to be playing in that composition, or do you have just a thread that follows, a thread of a song that follows through it?
That's a great question. For me, and again, not as a very accomplished composer at all, I work kind of with that thread. I'll start and kind of experiment around with my cello or maybe even sing, not a singer, but I'll try to get a little bit of a melody together, and that kind of unwinds sometimes into a longer piece. But, people like Mozart and Beethoven were able to hear entire works within, huge orchestras playing them all in their head, and they could just sit and write those down. And it's incredible if you take a look at Mozart manuscripts, his actual handwriting. He made very few mistakes. There's very little, scratching out or markings, and that's a testament to his ability to just write down what he heard correctly the first time. And really, really a genius, I think.
When this workshop is going on, you're going to have people who have signed up and they have specific things that they want to do. How about the general public? Is there opportunities to go down and listen to chamber music down there, listen to something maybe that Rick Soash has written, performed?
Yes. Thank you for asking, Buck. That we have three different opportunities over the June 25th, 26th, 27th weekend for the public to come here and be a part of the workshop. Friday evening, June 25th at 7 p.m., the faculty will be playing. So that will include the Gitche-Gamy Trio, which is myself on cello, Laurie Bastian on violin, and Sam Black on piano, Betty Bronstein on flute, and Rick Soash, the composer, will be kind of emceeing the concert and describing what we're playing, which will include probably at least two of his works. So the public will get to come and lay eyes on Rick Soash, hear him talk a little bit about his music, and hear it firsthand on Friday, June 25th at 7 p.m., and this is at Surfside on Lake Superior Resort, just down the shore from Bluefin Bay. Then on Saturday morning, we've got what's called a master class. This is at 11 p.m., also at Surfside. I'm sorry, 11 a.m., and participants in their ensembles play a little bit for the faculty and for the public and for the rest of the participants and get a little bit of public coaching, so to speak. So they get to perform and get a little feedback. And then finally, our final gala concert is Sunday morning, June 27th at 11 a.m., and this features not only the participants in their groups and what they've prepared over the past 4 to 6 days, but it also includes the Woodland Chamber Orchestra. The Woodland Chamber Orchestra is including all of the participants in the workshop and all the faculty, and we get together every evening and do a little orchestra rehearsal. So the final concert there on the 27th at 11 a.m. at Surfside is a great opportunity to come hear some great chamber music and some great orchestral music as well.
Now, Josh, I noticed that after the event on Friday, the Gichigami Trio recital, there's a wine and cheese reception.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that on Saturday.
No.
I might come on Friday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Friday's a good bet.
That looks like a good night.
Now that's part of chamber music you can appreciate.
I'm liking this idea.
That's right. Well, and indeed, a little reception afterwards is a great time for the public, to come and meet the players. And, we're not really up on a pedestal at all. We like wine and cheese just as much as anyone else. And
that's good to know.
We talk about it. But the other thing I should mention is that all of these performances are free, no admission required. So I hope that a lot of your listeners will drop on by and check it out. It's a wonderful thing to have in Tofte, Minnesota, of all places.
We've been speaking with Josh Airey, and Josh is a cellist and conductor of the Duluth Community Orchestra. He's going to be up here on the North Shore at Surfside in Tofte from June 22nd through June 27th. The public events are going to be on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 25th through the 27th. Are there places people can go to on the web to take a peek at what's happening here?
Absolutely. Our website is www.woodlandchambermusic.org. They can also shoot me an email if they want at info@woodlandchambermusic.org as well.
Josh, I want to thank you so much for giving us your time here. It was a lot of fun, and we look forward to seeing you up here closer to our neck of the woods.
It was my pleasure, Buck. Thanks for having me.